The thrill and excitement of March Mania is here, and DraftKings Sportsbook, one of America's top-rated sportsbook apps, is giving new customers a shot to turn $5 into $150 instantly in bonus bets with any college basketball bet. You can find all the lines and available odds, of course, at the DraftKings Sportsbook app. North Carolina listeners, don't forget, DraftKings Sportsbook is now live in your state. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SBNFL. New customers can bet $5 to get $150 instantly in bonus bets only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code SBNFL. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 8778-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort. 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/bball for eligibility, deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Hello, I'm Gina Thomas-Kelly from SB Nation.
And I'm Amir Tyree from DraftKings Nation.
And we're the hosts of Football Cheat Sheet, a podcast that comes out every Friday and provides you with the tools you need to win money and dominate your friends in fantasy this NFL season. Be sure to subscribe via your favorite podcast platform. And if you have questions about fantasy football, DFS, or your betting options on any given week, drop those questions along with a 5-star review, and we'll be glad to answer them on our next show.
Really weird week. I know we're talking before hopping on to record the show just about the longest week in NFL history. So let's talk about the fantasy and betting impact of that, because it's just been crazy considering got Wednesday football that we're fresh off now.
Yeah, so it's been, you know, an unusual season, and this week was even more unusual than usual for 2020 when we saw the Ravens and Steelers matchup that, you know, was a much anticipated game. We saw that get rescheduled multiple times due to COVID. And I know that that had to have some fantasy impact for folks, because I've been really relying on especially Chase Claypool on a week to week basis in DFS. I know that, you know, a lot of people have Juju, a lot of people have Ben Roethlisberger. And so, you know, it just kind of threw everything off. And not to mention, I think that this was only the second time in NFL history that a game was played on a Wednesday.
Yeah. And then, yeah. And also you have to, like, just between just being all like stretched out and not knowing, which they did, ESPN extended the kind of waiver wire deadline, which was, you know, that was a good thing. So people could like figure stuff out for week 13. But yeah, then those guys about how trying to figure out between those Ravens players with Snead out, and then RG3, playing quarterback and not having their two top running backs as well. So
yeah, they didn't even travel with the team. And so, yeah, it just really kind of threw off the entire week. And I think that, you know, a lot of fantasy owners were probably thinking, and I'm basing this on my own thoughts, you know, could you even really count on that game to happen? Because they were still having positive tests, you know, I think the day before the game. And so it's just been such an unusual season. Everybody's doing their best to get through it here with fantasy. And if I don't win some championships in season long, I'm just going to say that this season had an asterisk because.
No, yeah, I would not blame you for it. But yeah, then also I played a showdown contest on DraftKings yesterday, or not, well, yeah, well, on Wednesday for the for the game. And it was just like one of the craziest things. It's just the craziest things ever. It was like, if they had an over under on turnovers somewhere in there, I really wish I would have gotten in on that, just between just like the interceptions, just fumbles and just like muffed punts, just everything crazy. Cause I started off, I was like, all right, the safe bet is like, I'm just thinking like coming off that Broncos game where I had it was a must play for me to put the Saints defense in there with the Kendall Hinton at quarterback.
Definitely.
So I was like, oh yeah, immediately I was like, yeah, Steelers defense for sure in the captain slot. And then of course they have the pick six. And then I was really hanging in there the whole time. There's just so much unpredictability around that game. And of course, Trace McSorley comes in and throws a touchdown pass, and he completely broke everything and took me out of the money. Cause I know all Marquise Brown owners like everywhere were just like, wow, because he's just been so underwhelming this season. And then of all people, Trace McSorley throws him like the big time touchdown that just has a massive swing as far as like DFS. It's just like, that was the most tilting thing to me. I was like, oh, wow.
You know, the other game that really, and I tell you this, I think that with the Wednesday game, this has felt like the longest week of any NFL season ever. But because it feels like this was years ago. But yeah, the Falcons really looked good. And if you have the Falcons defense, you had a really good day last Sunday when they played the Raiders.
Yeah.
I did not expect that kind of beatdown. I did not expect the Falcons defense. Yeah, they've improved a great deal since Dan Quinn was fired and Raheem Morris took over as the interim head coach. But yeah, it's kind of, they're kind of an interesting case now because yes, they had a dominant win against the Raiders, but yeah, I don't know how I feel about playing any Falcons offensive players going into a game against the Saints. And you know, the offense really wasn't responsible for that win. So I'd say if you have the opportunity to, you know, if you have Young Waiku on your roster, you should be starting him every week, the Falcons kicker. If you have the Falcons defense, I would be starting them every week. But yeah, that was just such a weird game because to win, what was it, like 43-6? Everyone was like, oh, Dirk Cutter is good now. And I'm like, no, the offense is still, you know, very unimaginative and exactly what they've been every week. But yeah, the defense was really good.
Yeah. And then also just coming off that, it's just crazy when you look at coming into that game, I was higher on just, I guess, Derek, the Raiders had scored like 30 plus points in three straight games coming into that. And I guess he's just like Kansas City Chiefs kryptonite because he always like, they always just put up big number. At least the two games this year, it just seems he seems to show up for those games. But yeah, that was definitely an anomaly. But yeah, second you on the Young Hoku, number one kicker in fantasy, if you don't know. So
yes, and the NFC Special Teams Player of the Month for November found out this morning. So congratulations to him for that, and congratulations to me for drafting him in season long.
Yeah, and then moving on to one thing I really wanted to touch on. It's just crazy to think that right now we're looking at the Washington football team and New York Giants on top in the NFC East after the Eagles fell to the Seahawks in week 12. And just like now it's like still everyone is in the picture. Just, it's crazy to think, well, the Giants, you have to think, you have to monitor that Daniel Jones situation, but if not that, but I kind of feel like my favorite to win the NFC East now is Washington football team. And I kind of just wanted to, because when I was watching that Thanksgiving game, I was like, what is going, because we talked like in the past couple weeks, kind of just like of that Alex Smith and like the running backs kind of thing. And I was a little higher on JD McKissick, but they've kind of figured that situation out where they're like, oh, we're realizing Antonio Brown is like, he's a feature, like number one needs to be like the star kind of back. And they figured that out. And he's RB5 now in standard and PPR league. So
the NFC East is so, it's just bonkers this season. I can't remember which odds maker it was from, but I got an email this week and it was like, somebody has to win the NFC East. That's basically where we are with it. Like, somebody has to win it. They might win it with, I don't know, like six wins or something. But yeah, it's just, again, that's another really good example, you know, of this being a very 2020 season. Somebody's going to have to win that division. The Browns are actually maybe good. You know, this is just such a bizarre season in so many ways.
Oh, yeah. But I'd be interested to see how much people fall off of Washington, because Gibson is a super popular guy DFS and season long wise. Now everyone's come around on him, but they're coming up against Steelers team, which, you know, they've been great defense, their defensive line, and yeah, and then just seeing if Terry McLaurin can continue to produce at a high level despite maybe Alex Smith's numbers not being the best. But yeah, I'd say that's the team to look out for, because I think their rostership could plummet a little bit, and even still, they could provide a lot of value given that Gibson's snap count is on the rise, and they're not trying to like split things like three ways or like 60-40 kind of deal. Right. And I think McKissick is being phased out a little bit, so you know, some people might run away from Gibson's matchup in that one, but I think that he could still be worth playing just given what he's been able to do, just pass catching, just like the consistency of getting the ball and realizing his potential.
In DFS, I've been stacking McLaurin and Gibson quite a bit. I've done that several weeks this season, and every single time I've done it, it's paid off. I've done it, you know, obviously, like based on matchups week to week. And I don't know that I'd feel comfortable with them against Pittsburgh, but it's still worth it because they've actually been really affordable every single time. And so, yeah, I think that they've been a great stack for me in DFS. And I'm a big Terry McLaurin fan anyway because of his time at Ohio State. So that makes him a really easy choice for me.
And then just to talk about some more big time guys, it's like very interesting race as far as who the top performer in fantasy as a whole is gonna be, because it's been crazy between like Russell Wilson is now sitting in third, and we were looking at him looking to like break Peyton Manning's passing touchdown record, which he slowed down considerably in that. And then Kyler Murray was on pace to score more fantasy points than anyone ever, and he's kind of slowed down since his shoulder injury. And now MVP front runner Patrick Mahomes is like just barely behind Kyler Murray by like less than a point as far as like all things considered, just from a season long point standing. So definitely monitoring that and seeing like who can jump, because they're going to be just the matchups between them. Between the three quarterbacks is just something to watch. As far as Kyler Murray coming against that Rams defense, mm-hmm. which he's already hasn't quite looked like 100%, which they're trying to figure his shoulder out. But Rams giving up the third fewest passing yards per game in the NFL. He's got Jalen Ramsey. He's already going to be scrambling around from Aaron Donald and those guys. So I wonder how much of a leg factor is going to be. And maybe guys like Kenyon Drake and Chase Edmonds are a little bit more factors in that game, just because they've been so much more susceptible to the run than the pass this season, because that defensive line, and then when you're throwing up and trying to get to your top guy against Jalen Ramsey, has not been ideal for teams. And then Russell Wilson has fallen off that multi-touchdown pace as far as like every week he's throwing for like three and four touchdowns. And now we saw that like what looked like a super defensive battle for most of that game that they played against the Eagles. So you have to see if he can bounce back against the New York Giants, who have been good against the run, but then the DK Metcalf and James Bradbury matchup is going to be interesting. And then the Chiefs right now are just looking unstoppable. Let's talk about like Tyreek Hill, 200 yards for like first half numbers. So Kansas City like looks crazy right now, and Patrick Mahomes has a considerable lead, and now they're facing the Broncos, who earlier this year, they blew him out by close to 30. So it looks like he has the best chance at that one. Even that game was on the road, and now they're going to be at Arrowhead. So
yeah,
between all those guys.
Yeah. And I haven't looked yet to see if the Broncos get to play with an actual quarterback this week. Let's see. Yeah, it looks like Drew Lock is going to be back, which is good news for the Broncos. Because, and you know, last week he did his best, but you know, being a practice squad receiver, not having any practice reps with any, like not just the first team, like he didn't have practice reps at quarterback at all.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think that he came in and did his best, but I'm sure that, you know, Drew Lock does give them a slightly better chance to not get completely embarrassed against the Chiefs, not necessarily to win, but just to not get embarrassed.
Yeah. I definitely think they can bounce back, but just the Chiefs are in the best situation. Just like every week, Mahomes is hitting Tyreek Hill whenever he wants, and Travis Kelce. They completely abandoned like the running game. You know, Clyde Edwards-Helaire has been great, and Le'Veon Bell has been used sparingly as of late. So it's just like, wow, we can basically do anything we want at this point. So I think Mahomes definitely takes that step forward, and I think takes the throne as far as top fantasy performer.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, just looking at Tyreek Hill's stat line, I didn't watch that game, but I saw that stat line, you know, flash across the ticker at the bottom of the screen, and I was like, is that a typo? Because 269 receiving yards on 13 catches, tied his own career high with three receiving touchdowns, and if he can score a receiving touchdown again this week against the Broncos, that's going to be 6 weeks in a row with a touchdown catch. And it could be the fourth week in a row for him with 9+ catches and over 100 receiving yards. So, you know, with that speed, I think that he's got a good chance to make both of those things happen there.
I would not be surprised for sure. But yeah, moving over into just to touch on some of the two players I talked about, I think some of the interesting things to watch will be for over under Antonio Gibson. He's been really on a hot streak lately, but over under 1.5 touchdowns against the Steelers. What do we think?
I'm going to take the under.
Maybe just one, or do you?
Yeah, I think just one. I think one. I mean, yeah, 1.5 makes it tough to call. Because yeah, I think that he can score. 2 touchdowns is a tall order in general. And so yeah, I'm going to take the under. I'm going to say that he just scores 1 touchdown.
Yeah, which he has scored in 5 straight games, and 2 of the last 3 he has are 2 touchdowns. But definitely a tall task. But I think I want to take the over. Just after seeing him in that last game. And, you know, teams can get the better of the Steelers from time to time. So,
yeah,
I think I'm just going to take the momentum on that one. It's a little bit of reach. I think bare minimum is 1, but I think he can get 2 because of how they're realizing his potential, and kind of he just got like all the momentum in the world. So I think I think I'd want to bank on him there.
I could see it going either way.
And then Kyler Murray against that Rams defense, 250 passing yards to put things in perspective, averaging just over 255 on the year, but the Rams are giving up 203 per game, which only the Steelers and Washington football team have given up less, which Washington is a little skewed by that like 70-yard passing game that Andy Dalton had earlier in the season. So
yeah, let me see. So Kyler Murray has 270 plus passing yards and over 2 touchdown passes in 3 of his last 4 games at home. What was the number? Did you say 270?
Oh, 250.
250, over 250. Yeah, I'm going to take the over.
Because, yeah, he hasn't looked like MVP candidate Kyler Murray, but, you know, he did get 269 in those 2 scores in the loss to the Seahawks, but I think I'm going to lean toward the under on this one, just because it's coming off that Patriots game, which is one of his worst performances of the year. And then I think even though that one was on the road, I think coming back against that Rams, every time I watch the Rams, I really want to take the under on just about, unless you have like, yeah, it's going to be hard. Cause if he's not getting the ball to DeAndre Hopkins consistently, I can't see him. Well, yeah, I can't see him getting there unless Christian Kirk has a monster game, which definitely is possible, because a lot of the time people lock in on Hopkins and then Kirk is the guy that carries. But I think I want to lean toward the under, because just from the Rams pressure, I don't think he'll have a ton of time.
Yeah, and, no.
It could be very close. But yeah, he's a guy who can surprise you. And but I don't think he's really dominated against a very good like a quality defense yet this year. So,
yeah, I mean, I love his ability to extend plays, and I think that gives him a shot to do it. But yeah, I mean, I could see that one going either way. I'm taking the over just, you know, based on his recent performance. But like you said, the Rams defense, and especially that defensive front is going to keep him under pressure. And so, I could see that one going either way. I'm still taking the over, but you know, one of us will be right and I won't be surprised either way.
Usually we would kind of go into some hits and misses, but since we're in playoff time, just at DraftKings Nation, we kind of do like running week to week of like picking out some guys, waiver wire targets. So let's talk through, we're not going to do like defense special teams or kickers, but just through quarterback, running back, wide receiver, tight end, just some people that we've had our eye on over there, and kind of, you know, and maybe if you have some you want to chip in with as well. But, you know, we probably have different opinions on who could be worth picking up and who are going to be rostered at lower percentages as we come into week 13. So at the quarterback position, some people to keep an eye on: Taysom Hill, Kirk Cousins, Phillip Rivers, Ryan Fitzpatrick, and Derek Carr. Just to, well, we both were way, seemed like we were way off on Taysom Hill, which is not like he's, I don't think he's going to go the, oh, I don't know if he'll go the distance for the rest of the season. I have to check up on the Drew Brees progress, but he's proved to be like, you know, he seems like he can be a consistent fantasy guy. They're going to cater to his skill set, and his rostership is on the rise. The last time we looked at it, it was around 60%. So I wouldn't be, at least on ESPN, so I wouldn't be surprised if that like rose since then. But still, you know, most people are still going to want traditional quarterbacks over. It's still like a little bit of a wild card, but I think Taysom Hill can still have some big games while he's filling in for Drew Brees for the rest of the season.
Yeah, I know when Taysom Hill was announced as the starter against the Falcons a couple of weeks ago, a lot of people were asking me, do you really think that he's going to be like the full-time quarterback? And I said no. Like, I thought that it was gamesmanship from Sean Payton. I expected him to throw him out there, you know, use him as like a gadget player, like he has been used over his time in New Orleans. And instead, I was wrong. And I think that he is a really serviceable option off the waiver wire. Another guy that I would consider is got a couple of options in Atlanta, but Todd Gurley he's actually having a pretty decent season despite being used poorly by an uncreative offensive coordinator. You know, you can only have so much success when your primary job is running up the middle on second and long every single series.
Yeah.
But Ito Smith is a guy that I really like. He's a versatile back. He is able to, you know, catch balls out of the backfield, and also, you know, a pretty decent running back. He's a smaller guy, but, you know, he's able to get some yards. So that's a guy that I would keep an eye on. Just the deeper that we get in the season, the more that I worry about Todd Gurley's knee. And so if you need a running back, he's a guy that you may just want to stash just in case.
Yeah. And then at the quarterback list I mentioned, I think my sleeper guy, who I really did not like early in the season and is starting to put some things together, Phillip Rivers, 33% rostered on ESPN. And I think, yeah, they're figuring things out, even like with their weird running back situation. But their game's coming up. They have some ideal matchups. They're playing Houston twice in the next 4 weeks. So I like that. And then they're also going to play Las Vegas in that, which their fourth game. After those three games, they will play Pittsburgh. But at least for a brief stretch, I think Phillip Rivers, if you're really having trouble at quarterback and you're in one of those deeper leagues, I think he's starting to figure out. It's hard to figure out his what the wide receiver distribution is going to be like as far as like yards and catches. But I think like him and just PPR upside from running backs and things like that would make it worth it. For the running back position, some targets to look, keep an eye out on, to keep things on the Saints. A lot of Saints guys coming up. We got to talk about Latavius Murray, Frank Gore, Cam Akers, Benny Snell, Royce Freeman, Murray being the most notable guy, because essentially, you know, Alvin Kamara, a lot of people thought could be the top fantasy, you know, top three, top four fantasy performer on the year. He is still like four-ish five area. But Latavius Murray is splitting snaps with him down the middle and is coming off that 2-touchdown game. And it seems like Taysom Hill's presence has like just completely made Alvin Kamara, you know, well, I'm not going to say it's made him obsolete, but it's like they don't use him the same way. And they like Murray a lot more with Taysom Hill.
And then another kind of a storyline that leads to maybe another waiver wire, a couple of waiver wire options. Will Fuller is suspended for the rest of the season. So that is going to give Kiki Kuti is going to have an opportunity to get more looks. And then I would keep an eye on Isaiah Coulter too. That's another guy down that depth chart. So if you're really desperate for a receiver, not sure what we can expect from him, but he will almost certainly be available. And Will Fuller being out for the rest of the year does just create more opportunities for those guys. So just, you know, might want to think a little bit differently about those Texans receivers.
Yeah. And at wide receiver, who I've held on to him for the entire season, even though he he makes me mad so much. Well, not necessarily that he's like not really performing, but Deebo Samuel's been in and out this whole year, which he was just a little bit over 50% rostership, and then he came back from injury and had easily his biggest game of the year, and he's got Buffalo, Washington, Dallas, and Arizona in his next four games. So I'm sure he's taking a little bit of a bump up, but when you look at that team where, you know, they're still trying to figure out with Brandon Ayuk, and then maybe trying to get Garoppolo and Kittle back for the end of season now. So
yeah,
which that's impressive. But yeah, he's like the obvious guy. And then for me at wide receiver, T.Y. Hilton is like a big sleeper, because just when I think T.Y. Hilton is like completely washed and I was like, he's going to be out of the league soon. It's like, what's going on with this guy? But he goes for four receptions, 81 yards, which is his season high, catches a touchdown. He played 50 plus snaps for the first time since week six. So I'm like, maybe coming in against Houston, they'll start utilizing him a little bit more. He was like 38% rostered coming into like week 13 earlier in the week. But I'm just like, yeah, I think he can have a bounce back game, and him with playing Houston twice and also Las Vegas in these next 4 weeks. I think he's off a lot of people's radar. And it's like, I was like, maybe just one game can like help him get back on track, because they started phasing him out, and like Michael Pittman and other guys and like Marcus Johnson are playing the same, if not more, snaps than him. Just like, T.Y., man, you're a former Pro Bowler. So
yeah, I mean, he was one of the best receivers in the league for a number of years. So it is just kind of surprising. And you have to think that at some point it will start to click between him and Rivers.
Yeah. And then I did have some more that I wanted to talk on, but that were tight ends. But if you had any tight ends just off the top of your head before I run through some of these guys, feel free.
I'm trying to think of what tight ends wouldn't be rostered. I actually had a lot of tight end stuff that I did want to talk about this week, just because I think there are a few tight ends that are poised to have a great game. One guy, and I don't know what his what percentage of players have him rostered, but Austin Hooper, you know, former Falcons tight end, he was a guy that I was very excited about going into this season. His first season with the Browns, I thought that he was going to, you know, just light it up. And then he definitely did not to start the season, but it seems like he's coming along. Let's see, over the past couple of weeks, he looks like he's finally hitting his stride. Last week was his second touchdown of the year. And so he's had a touchdown in two of the last three games. So Austin Hooper is a guy that I think is probably available in a lot of leagues. And so that's somebody that I would definitely consider, because it does seem like he's at the point now where he has developed that chemistry and that timing with Baker Mayfield. And, you know, Mayfield's got so many targets to choose from. I think that that's been part of the issue with Hooper being a little bit slow to get up to speed. But it seems like there's a comfort level there now. And I think that, you know, that scoring tendency these past couple of weeks bodes well for the end of the season. So Hooper is definitely a guy that I would take a look at if you need a tight end and he's available in your league.
Especially at tight end, a lot of the times people bank on those touchdowns, because typically they're not the top guy, like target wise. He has 28 catches on the year and two scores. So two receiving scores. So not like the, you know, not the most ideal thing as far, not the most ideal thing as far as like fantasy upside. So I'm sure a lot of those guys who maybe have like similar receptions but more touchdowns are rostered at a much higher percentage. But some guys who are pretty readily available: Trey Burton, Jordan Reed, Logan Thomas, and Kyle Rudolph being my least favorite option of those. Robert Tonyan's he just comes when he starts scoring, it's just he just does it. It's like a Tyler Lock. Like, he either doesn't score or he scores in like two or three touchdowns for like 2-3 weeks in a row. And then he's not, because he scored his second touchdown in the last 2 weeks after going 5 weeks scoreless. And even though the Packers receiving core is getting healthy, they're kind of getting Alan Lazard back incorporated, which he played less than half the snaps his first week when he was coming back from the IR his first week. I expect his snap count to go up a little bit more. And then another person who I've been like fighting this for forever, but Trey Burton also with the Colts. I'm just like really big on Colts guys for whatever reason for this show. 19% roster ship, which even though, because I was like early on in the season, I was like, Mo Alley Cox is a stud at tight end. When Jack Doyle went down, and then Mo Alley Cox was like catching touchdowns in like two, three in like a 4 or 5 game stretch or something like that. And then now Burton has played in like 8 games, but he's played in like less than half the snaps for 4 of the 8 games. But he has five touchdowns. He's caught three and he's run for 2. And they keep getting creative, like when they get around the goal line, and it's like there's just no telling what they're gonna do with these guys, and especially with the unpredictability of the passing game in Indianapolis. I think taking a shot on a guy like him, which, you know, they're comfortable with giving him carries and around the goal line. I think he's just as good as an option as like Mo Alley Cox. Not maybe the upside not as high as a guy like Hooper, just considering like he splits a good amount of snaps between him and the other two guys. But just you can't ignore the five touchdowns and the fact that, you know, they're trusting them in scoring situations.
Another guy, and I'm trying to look here and see what percentage of players have him rostered, but Richard Rodgers has actually been doing well here recently. If he can score this week against the Packers, it is going to be his 3rd week in a row with a receiving touchdown. So, that's another – I mean, they have so many tight ends on their roster. I was looking at the capsules that the NFL sends out every week, and I'm just like, why do the Eagles have a gigantic
about – Yeah, and even then – and he's doing that with Dallas Goedert leading him in receiving yards for 2 weeks straight. So that just puts things definitely puts things into perspective.
Yeah, absolutely. So that's another tight end that I would maybe keep an eye on.
Now that we're through the waiver wire stuff, we can kind of go back and get, I know you took the week off of DFS, but did you want to talk about hits, misses, and just season long though?
Yeah, actually, no, my hits last week were the Thanksgiving dinner that I made, and the misses were us putting our food like on top of kind of a flimsy table that the dogs knocked over. I only lost the leftover dressing. It was fine. So yes, I did not have any hits or misses myself last week. I was very busy with Thanksgiving.
Yeah, I do not doubt it. But I'm coming off. I did well with Kirk Cousins and Justin Jefferson together. I really liked that one for GPP play because everyone was going to be on Jefferson with Adam Thielen out, and he's one of the top guys in receiving yards up against the Panthers. But Kirk Cousins was like less than 2% rostered, so that worked out well. But that game was just also tilting because between like the crazy like end of game antics and then him coming down to like throw the game winner to Chad Beebe after he I don't know if you saw any of that game, but it's like they have the opportunity to wrap the game up, and then it's like fourth quarter final minutes, their punt return muffs a punt, and then Carolina scores and before they come back and miss the game winning field goal.
No, I did not see any of that one, and that sounds brutal.
I think there were like two or three fumbled punts on that one with like no contact on it. It was just crazy. But getting those two guys together, Nick Chubb staying on him as far as like keeping strong since his return from the IR and the Saints defense. I hit on those, but I did miss on, because when I did the stack, I'd had Kirk Cousins, Justin Jefferson, and Dalvin Cook because the Panthers run defense has been suspect, and Dalvin Cook definitely did not show up for me. So I could have definitely won out big time had I swapped him for like Derrick Henry, who went crazy. But you know, it's just a given, like picking between those higher priced like super workhorse guys, you know, they're gonna bust from time to time. It's just like, oh, like I could have $1,000 like less salary and I could have gotten like 30 more points. So I was like, what?
Yeah. It's so hard to know how those are gonna go. Nick Chubb, I did want to just circle back to him because what a game last week. That was 176 yards total between receiving and rushing. That's just nuts. It was interesting that it seemed to be kind of feast or famine last week for players, because you had guys like Chubb and Tyreek Hill who just had bonkers games. And then, you know, then you had the guys on my season long team who did not. So, yeah.
There are two kinds of fantasy players, the ones that go off and the ones on our teams.
Yep, exactly.
I did also miss on Demir Byrd, which I knew that was a long shot coming in, but I just needed like a filler in like a flex spot. And I was like, oh, I only had so much space. And it's like, oh, he went off last week and he did not go off again. So, But yeah, going into lock of the week and sleepers. For my lock, I want to have Miles Sanders, 6,700 on DraftKings, going up against the Green Bay Packers, who have really struggled against the run as of late. As far as like team, the team and like total rushing yards, they're like middle of the pack, but they're going on three straight weeks with surrendering like over 90 yards to the opposition's running back one. So there's that. And then Miles Sanders, he only got six carries against the Seahawks, who have a really solid run defense. But Green Bay is pretty good at quarterbacks. I don't know if they're going to, considering how Carson Wentz played that last game, I don't think they're going to throw the ball 46 times again with like having that kind of limited success. So I think it's a big chance for Sanders to come back, who he's had big games against the Steelers and Ravens when they're at full strength. So I think he can do the same against the Packers, given what they've forced up to running backs. And then sleeper, I'm going to keep sticking with T.Y. Hilton. I like him against the Texans at 4,300. Which just, you know, I think he's still like wide receiver one quality. It's just a matter of if his snaps are at the same level, I think he has an opportunity. And I don't think people will bank on him having two good games in a row, given how he's played so far this season.
I'm going to pick on the Jets a little bit. Not that, you know, they really need that with the season that they've had, but I'm going to pile on here. So my lock of the week, I'm going to go with Darren Waller. He's actually quietly having a really, really good season. He's second among all tight ends with 64 catches and 542 receiving yards. So, and he has five touchdowns on the season, and the Jets are just bad. I mean, they are just not a good football team. And so, yeah, I think that what I'm interested to see there, I just like the matchup. And so I think that I'm going to go with Waller as my lock of the week. I have not looked at his price on DraftKings yet, but I have to think that he's not going to break the bank. And then my sleeper, you know, Nelson Agholor has quietly really kind of gotten it together. I think he just needed a change of scenery. He's doing much better out in Las Vegas. That's going to take years to get used to that. I'm still calling the San Diego Chargers occasionally, so bear with me. But yeah, if he's able to do it against the Jets, it'll be his third game in a row with over five catches and over 50 receiving yards. So he's not a guy that I would count on as like my like top receiving option, but he's not going to be expensive. And he's a guy that you could, you know, fill out your roster with, save some money. And I think against the Jets, you know, everybody has a chance to succeed. So I think that you've got a pretty good outlook there.
You're not lying. And then I actually had some of Nelson Agholor as well. So he put not anything like amazing, but solid baseline guy. Him and Hunter Renfro have kind of both taken over as like the top wide, because Waller's a top dog. Both of them are kind of like neck and neck as like wide receiver one, as opposed to Henry Ruggs and Bryan Edwards, who they like raved about coming into the season just through camp and stuff like that. But yeah, both those guys are kind of in a similar range and have been, you know, Hunter Renfro been like a little more consistent as far as like catch bases. But yeah, Agholor has like that big play potential where he just like, in his boom weeks, he really booms.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And I just want to point out that even though the Raiders just absolutely got beat down by the Falcons last week, you know, Renfro still had over 70 receiving yards and Agholor still put up over 50. And so, yeah, I just think that either one of those guys against the Jets, the deeper we go into the season, I think the more dejected the Jets are going to be. And so I think that it probably increases opponents' chances of being able to get things done against them.
I don't think I'm going to do a money line thing today. But one thing I think could be interesting is the Detroit Lions, Chicago Bears. Bears favored by 3 points and minus 177 on the money line. Lions plus 155. Kind of a trend that I've been checking out so far this season, and even like over the past couple seasons. It seems like teams, like right after they fire their coach, have a better chance at covering the spread.
Mm-hmm.
And especially with Mitchell Trubisky is set to like to lock in and be under center again after that blowout loss they suffered against the Packers. I think the Lions, I might as well take them as a money line too, plus 155, even at Soldier Field. I think that's worth taking a look at. But then, and as three-point underdogs, I kind of like, it seems like it always like lights a fire under them. And DeAndre Swift looking like he's going to make a comeback after missing that time, or at least he's off out of concussion protocol, and then monitoring Kenny Golladay as well. But mm-hmm. when they come off and having those coaches fired, a lot of people really did not like Matt Patricia, just like across the league. I don't know if you saw the kind of stuff on Twitter of just people like Darius Slay and Ishan Robinson from the Rams, I think, said something, but just like people sure really did. Must not like that guy. So maybe their spirits are lifted this weekend. They like somehow crush the Bears, but I think it could be something to look at.
Yeah, absolutely. And then another thing that we've seen with the Lions is that they've actually been able to get the run game going a little bit more effectively. I mean, Adrian Peterson only rushed for 55 yards. He's an older running back. You know, I don't expect him to have, 200 rushing yards in the game, but he did rush for 2 touchdowns. And so that's another, if they can punch it in the end zone and they can really definitely count on Trubisky to make some mistakes. Yeah, I think that I like the Lions in that one, too.
Do you have anyone? I'm trying to think. Coming up with someone put in the doghouse, I was like thinking, I was like, I will say that Aaron Jones is in the doghouse for me coming up against the Seahawks. Or, well, not the Seahawks, but I was thinking because the Eagles played them recently. But the Eagles have a really good run defense. And for whatever reason, like he has 8 touchdowns on the year, but he scored one over the past 4 weeks. And him and Jamal Williams are essentially splitting the snaps down the middle. And past, I think maybe two of the last 3 weeks, Jamal Williams has outperformed. They both had 17 carries in their last game against the Bears. So where they have that super high scoring offense coming in, and they're both multi-purpose like backs who can catch out of the backfield. So it seems like they're edging away from Jones being their like feature superstar guy, which at the beginning of the season, everyone was like, pay this man. He's one of the best all-purpose backs around. And then now Jamal Williams is doing like just the same amount of work as him at this point. So I think seeing if he can establish himself as the real go-to guy out of the backfield again. So I'm going to throw him in there, even though it's not like he's been terrible, but just like he was one of the guys who was like a star and has kind of fallen off recently.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that that's perfectly fair. And like I said, I will definitely have somebody to put in the doghouse, an actual player to put in the doghouse next week. Now that I'm back on the DFS train here. Thank you so much for tuning in, everybody. And you can follow me on Twitter at Gina Thomas. It's Jeanna Thomas. And I will go ahead sometime today, which is Friday, I will go ahead and set up our DFS contest for this week. It is a classic lineup with a $50,000 salary cap on DraftKings. It's a 10-person contest, $10 buy-in, and the top 3 payout. So you've got a decent chance to win some money there. Good luck against us, as long as Amir and I remember to set our lineups. We're pretty good at this. So, come play against us.
I'm looking to repeat as the league champ after a 1-week layoff. And then I just kind of want to throw a quick plug in here. Well, first of all, I'll say you can find me on Twitter at @its_amiracle, AMEERICLE. Just some things to consider. I think my favorite probably highly rostered stack would be like some variation of like Mahomes, Kelsey, and Tyreek Hill. And then I think my favorite lower owned one would be Phillip Rivers. Naheem Hines has been great. And then just some like a tight end or like a Colts wide receiver. So if you guys want to use any of that to kind of build your lineups around DFS, then feel free to. I'll at least consider and have them on my radar. Just wanted to throw that in there. So be sure to subscribe on your favorite podcast platform and drop your fantasy DFS and gambling questions in the comments with a 5-star review, and we'll answer them on the next episode.
Thanks for joining us, folks, and we will catch you next time.